Our service of morning worship. It's the second Sunday of the month, so we have a bit of a change from our usual communion services. We begin our service this morning. Could you pass me on to the next slide, please, Paul? We're going to sing a song later on in the service, which I'd like us to just practice, because it may be new to some of you. I'm sure a lot of you already know this one, but one or two of us might not. It was new to me. So can we just sing it through, please, Janet? And as we sit, let's rehearse it.
Sorry. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all must see how great is our God. And age to
please, will you join in the responses in the white type? Let us worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And together we pray, Lord, direct our thoughts and teach us to pray. Lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and truth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're continuing today in our series called Heavenly Encounters. What happens when people encounter the Lord in a visible sort of way? And how does that affect the way that we view him? So we're going to begin by singing together, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near. Let's stand. Some words from the prophet Hosea to lead us into an awareness of our need of God's mercy. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn that he may heal us. Let us press on to know him. He will come to us as the rains that water the earth. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy upon those who fear him. Let's keep silent. Let us say together, Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy upon us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Please join in the words in the white. As a father has compassion on his children, so is the Lord merciful to those who fear him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We're going to pray together this beautiful prayer, the Collect for Grace. Together we say, Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you that you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. Order us in all our doings and guide us to do always what is righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn now that kind of sums up what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I, that we might experience a life of forgiveness. Let's stand and sing before the throne of God above. Please be seated. We've been following this series on heavenly encounters, and we've come across a figure in the Old Testament by the name of the Angel of the Lord. And the Angel of the Lord appears a number of times in the Old Testament. Take a look at how often that name appears. 58 times, 58 appearances of the angel of the Lord, mostly in the book of Judges, which is very interesting. We came across the angel of the Lord when he appeared to Hagar, the maidservant of Sarah, Abraham's wife, when she was banished to the desert by them with the child that Abraham had fathered. We saw it with the prophet Elijah when he fled to the desert. The angel of the Lord came to him. And we've looked at those in past weeks. And the angel of the Lord appears again today, and Diana's going to come and talk to us a little bit about that. But I want to show you a video which kind of tries to sum up the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. It's produced by an American group called the Bible Project, so expect American accents in this video. But it's a free resource, and it's a really good resource. Just look it up at home, the Bible Project. Lots of videos that give an overview of the Bible. So let's take a look at this one about the angel of the Lord.
So, in the Bible, reality is made up of two overlapping realms, the heavens and the earth, our space and God's space.
And while life here on earth, sometimes we can encounter heaven right here in our own realm.
Yes, this happens a number of times in the Bible. And when it does, we often encounter a fascinating character, the angel of Yahweh, or in most translations of the Bible, the angel of the Lord.
Now, we've talked about angels. They're spiritual messengers who perform missions for God.
But the angel of the Lord is no mere angel.
How so?
Well, every time he appears, he's described in a way that's purposefully puzzling. And it leaves you wondering, was that an angel sent by Yahweh? Or was that Yahweh himself?
What do you mean?
Here's one of many examples. In the book of Genesis, there's a story about Hagar, Abraham and Sarah's runaway Egyptian slave. And we read this.
The angel of Yahweh called to Hagar.
But then this angel speaks as if he is Yahweh, saying, I will give you many descendants. And then Hagar responds and says, you are God who sees me.
So the angel of Yahweh is Yahweh. But that can't be. In the Bible, you can't see Yahweh or you'll die.
Yeah. So this story and others like it are inviting us into a paradox. That Yahweh is above all, inaccessible to us. But sometimes he reveals himself to us in ways that we can see and understand. And that's where this character shows up.
He's Yahweh made visible to us.
Yes, distinct from Yahweh, and also Yahweh. This is very similar to other biblical stories about prophets who get a glimpse into God's space, like Isaiah, Ezekiel, or Daniel. And what they see is a glorious human figure on a throne who's called Yahweh.
So the one on the throne and the angel of Yahweh, this is the same person.
Exactly. Watch all this come together in the famous story of Moses and the burning bush, where we read,
the angel of Yahweh appeared to Moses in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And when Yahweh saw that Moses stopped to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush.
So this person in the bush is called the angel of Yahweh, then Yahweh, and then God. And then later in the story, Moses learns that the figure in the burning bush is the one leading Israel out of Egypt in a pillar of fire and cloud. And that's the one who later takes up residence in the tabernacle.
The tabernacle. This is the throne room of God himself.
You got it. The angel of the Lord is the royal glory of Yahweh appearing as a human. Now, keep all this in mind as we start talking about Jesus. In the opening of the Gospel of John, we're told that from all eternity, Jesus was with God and was God.
Distinct from God and also God. That's the same paradox we saw with the angel of Yahweh.
Right. And then John says that God's word became human and set up a tabernacle among us.
The temple presence of the invisible God.
Exactly. Now check this out. There's a story about when Jesus took three of his followers up to a mountain and his true identity was revealed. He was transformed into a glorious human figure.
Okay, I see what's going on here. So the angel of the Lord was God appearing like a human, and Jesus is God now become a human.
Yes. And notice this. In the New Testament, no one ever uses the phrase angel of the Lord to describe Jesus.
Why not?
Well, they wanted to avoid the idea that Jesus was merely an angel. For them, Jesus was Yahweh God become human in order to fulfill his ultimate mission to fully reunite heaven and earth once and for all.
to worship the angel of the Lord, Yahweh God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing of the splendor of the King. Seated. We come now to our Bible readings, and Keith's going to read to us from Judges and 2 Timothy.
Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 22. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress, to keep it from the Midianites. Then the angel of the Lord appeared. He said, The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But, sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go, in the strength you have, and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it really is you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread. Place them on this rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Second Timothy 1 verse 7 says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I thought I could see the clock at the back, but I can't. So there we are. I'll take that off. Let's pray first. Lord, open our eyes to see you. Amen. This week has been a special week for meteor showers. There have been showers of meteorites coming down, and Friday was supposed to be lots of them, and I looked out of my window and couldn't see anything. I would love a meteorite. And I would say to you, look, this bit of rock came from outer space. And I'd hope you'd be impressed. But supposing instead of a piece of rock, we met the God of the galaxies. Supposing we can meet God, even if there isn't an angel. You see, we've been, all the songs Jeff chose are, one, this is a bit of one of them, the great unchangeable I am, King of glory and of grace. And so there's God, as high and lifted up as you could possibly imagine, who can also meet with us. And we've been doing heavenly encounters, and heavenly encounters change things. People who experience the presence of God are changed. And we've been looking at Abraham, Hagar, Elijah, today's Gideon. And what it highlights is there are two ways of looking at things, okay? Use a bit of imagination, please. So this is the way we see everything normally. It's not too clear, okay? This is the way we look at the news. We see, what do we see? Well, dire things, you know, everything's going up, it's too hot, there's Ukraine. And then there's another way. Now, these are my driving specs with which I can see everything perfectly. There's another way, and that's God's way. And so you've got Hagar sitting there saying, and both ways are right. That's the interesting thing. Hagar sitting there saying, I'm absolutely stuck. There's no water. I'm cast off. Nobody wants me. An angel appears and says, there's another dimension to this. God sees you. And the angel speaks to her, and her whole life is changed, and she's blessed. And then there's Abraham. I think this is a bit, it amuses me anyway. So they have a meal, and the angels, we'll start with the angel. The angel says, Hagar, you're going to have a child. Hagar sits there and says, I don't think angels know what life's like. When you're 90 and a lady, things like that don't work on earth. And there is another dimension, do you see? Elijah, he was sitting there saying, I've had enough, take my life. I'm desolate, they're coming for me, Jezebel's going to get me. And God's saying, no, I've commissioned you. Eat. I'm going to meet with you. Go in my strength. And God gives him, you know, a still small voice. Sound, another translation is a sound of gentle silence. And his whole spirit is changed. He sees something of God and his life goes forward. I'm going to put in Jacob because he didn't see an angel. Jacob was sitting in the desert having a bad time, running away from his brother, thinking, oh no, I've got to go quick because Esau will come and get me. Now that is true. And he had a dream and he said, God is in this place. Do you see? You don't have to have an angel. It's very nice if you do, but most of us don't have angels. God is in this place and I didn't know. So we come to Gideon. Poor old Gideon, the bit we didn't read was, why was Gideon so stuck? Well, there was Gideon, who's an Israelite, and then there were the Midianites. And what happened was the Israelites lived quite happily. They planted their crops, and along came the Midianites. The earlier verses describe them like locusts with their tents and their camels. And they burned all their crops, they took their sheep, they took their donkeys, they ravaged the land, it says. And the Israelites went and lived in caves and in rocks and in clefts and were afraid and were stuck. And this happened regularly. So into this situation comes the angel, says to Gideon, two things. The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. And he says, so if God's with us, then why have we got all these Midianites? Don't you see? They come and Gideon can see how it doesn't work. And I'm not a mighty man of valor. He says, I'm the least in my clan. My clan's the least and I'm the least. So what does the angel say? Oh, golly, I hadn't thought of the Midianites. The angel says, doesn't take the slightest bit of notice of any Midianites. He says, go in the strength God gives you. Do you see? There's another dimension. And our whole society is the first dimension, is this one. It's looking at it. And it's correct. If you look at the news, it is correct. It's not wrong. It's just forgotten God. And supposing God comes, it could change everything. And you see, we have the Christian faith. It's not the Christian sight. We walk somewhere it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is Hebrews 11:1, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Have you seen heaven? No. Have you seen Jesus? No. Do you know he's here? Well, why did you turn up if you thought he wasn't going to be here? So you've all exercised faith. So let me ask you, I'm not going to make you tell me what it is, but would any of you say that in your life you've gone through something, it could be yesterday, it could be some time back, when your life was changed because you knew about the presence of God in your situation? Has anyone ever had that situation? Do you put... Oh, that's loads of you. Do you see? We know. It changes things. God is bigger than what you thought. You know how you go to the cinema and they give you trailers? And then the film comes and the screen goes like that. Well, that's what worship's meant to do. And do you know, it's interesting, that video. He's got two ways of looking at things. He's saying God's bigger. I found this in Hebrews. It said Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, upholding all things by his powerful word. I thought, ooh, that to me makes Jesus bigger. He's the radiance of God's glory. And, of course, angels are very nice. I'm sure they're wonderful, and they help. And if you meet an angel, I'm sure everything's changed. But what about us and the everyday? Well, the truth is, we've got Midianites. We've all got Midianites. I hope they're not like locusts around you. But we've all got one or two. And I'll give you the sort of examples of the Midianites any of us could have. Health, money, family. Last night it was probably heat as well. You know, we've all got our little Midianites, or loads of Midianites. And Peter last week made a very good comment. He said, God is not a God with a helicopter who comes down and says, right, Gideon, I'll take you out of the Midianites. He's a God who's got a parachute, comes and walks alongside you. Oh, perhaps I should tell you what happens. Anyway, I'll just tell you this bit about Gideon, you see. He believes the angel. He believes, gosh, this is God in my situation. This will change things. What about the mighty man of valor bit? Well, he says, if you're there, I'll give you a sacrifice. And then, after that, when it's dark, he goes and chops down the altar of Baal. He doesn't do it in daylight. And he gets bolder and bolder and walks on and on with God. And in the end, defeats the Midianites. It's an extraordinary story. You'll have to go home and read it, because it's another 10 chapters, really. So, what about us and our Midianites? And if you don't have an angel, we can all have a heavenly encounter. You might not have put it that way, but those who raise their hands, and I guess most of us, have known God. And if you haven't, of course, you can do. You can know God in the everyday. If God's not in your everyday, well, I'll say it for me, if God's not in my everyday, I might have a very long wait to meet God. What's got to happen so I've got to meet God? It has to be in the everyday. So when my daughter was 2, I think I've told you this before, she would believe what she saw. And so she would put her hands in front of her eyes like that, and then she'd open her eyes, and then she'd say, "You've gone, you've gone." And I would take her hands away and say, "I haven't gone." Now, in actual fact, if you do that and open your eyes and believe what you see, I have gone. That it's like that. That's true. But then she got to three, and she put her hands in front of her eyes and open her eyes and say, "You've gone." No, she'd say, "I can't see you, but I know you're there." And that's where I want to go. Sometimes I feel as though I say to God, "You've gone, you've gone." And God says to me, "I haven't gone. You can't see me, but you know I'm there." And I think, so he's always with us. However, if you don't have an angel, what do you do? Do you remember Jeremiah in Lamentations? There are bits in Lamentations we never read in church. I'll tell you some. It says, "You are like God, you are like a bear lying in wait for me. You've made me eat gravel." Well, no one says that. And so Jeremiah has watched Jerusalem be destroyed. He's in exile. He's watched a terrible siege where everybody starved. And he feels as though God has gone. And he says, he's sitting there, and about four verses before it says, "You've made me eat gravel." He says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. No angel. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." He's turning from "you've made me eat all that gravel" to "Lord, actually you're here. You're here. Your steadfast love never ceases. This I call to mind." He's gone back to it in his head. He's not had a revelation. He's just worked at it. So years ago, we lived in Iran and there was a revolution. And it was a time of great uncertainty. It had its funny moments. I'll just tell you one of them. Paul was accused of planning a coup with the Pentagon, receiving $500 million, which he distributed to revolutionaries. Well, if you were planning a coup with the Pentagon, would you employ Paul and me? So obviously, you've got the point, you see. So that had its funny side, but it was very uncertain. And of course, the government doesn't like people who plan coups. And they don't like Christian. And yet, it was the richest time spiritually in my whole life. The difficult bit, funnily enough, was coming back. Why was it rich? Well, no angels. I just had one verse. "Fear not," Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be afraid, I am your God." Do you see, this isn't a helicopter, this is parachute. This is God saying, "I am greater than what you face." Fear. So lots of times a day I go back to my verse, "Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be afraid, I am your God. I will help you, I will strengthen you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." Do you see, I paid my children 50p to learn that verse. And I got my money's worth. It's a wonderful verse. And I would address everything with, "Fear not, I am with you. Don't be afraid. I'm your God." The difficulty was when I came back. And you can have a whole day without needing God in England. You know, nobody's coming to take you away or arrest you or anything else. So in the difficulties, in your Midianites, the presence of God can be greater than what you go through. I'll tell you a little example of a lady. Oh, I've still got some time. A lady we prayed for. I worked for Christian Prayer Ministries. And this lady came, lovely Christian, and she was in charge of soaking prayer at her church. And she said, "I can't do it." Actually, she did it very well. She said, I can't do it. I'm a fraud. They'll all see I'm a fraud. I'm no good. And there's no point in telling a person like that, oh, no, you're not a fraud, you're fine, because it doesn't work. It's somehow a different level. She said, I think I should leave. I really don't know if I should stay doing that. So we said to her, well, I'll tell you what, go and ask God. So if you like, here she is. She's stuck. I'm a fraud, she's saying. And that's how she feels. And that's what life looks like for her. So we said, well, go and pray. Go and ask God. Go and ask God, am I a fraud? Should I be doing this ministry? And then, as a prayer minister, you have to shut up and breathe deeply and say a prayer and say absolutely nothing. And we waited. And after a bit, she said, I see a picture of me with L plates. She said, it's all right to have L plates. She said, and the prayer minister said, you are to be God-confident, not self-confident. And for reasons I can't explain to you, she said, that's it. That's it. I'm okay. She said, I can be God-confident. I can have L plates. It's just being clever in myself and knowing it all and managing it that I can't do. But if I'm to be God-confident, I can do that. And somehow it changed it. That was the presence of God coming for her. And what did Jesus say to his disciples when on the night he was betrayed? So you've got the Last Supper. You've got the disciples. Jesus knows the Midianites are coming tonight. They're going to swarm you and ravage your land. They are going to come. I'm going to be betrayed. There's going to be crucifixion. So if you were in that situation with your family, what would you say to them if you knew the next day something very terrible was going to happen? Do you know what he says? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I feel like saying, is that all? But actually, that is, supposing you do that, that's really what all these heavenly encounters are about. Let not your hearts be troubled. Elijah, Gideon, Hagar, Abraham, us. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Then he goes on and he talks about the Holy Spirit coming. He says, I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. What does he say at the very end of Matthew? I mean, this is his, just before he ascends to heaven, what does he say to them? He says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. I don't know quite what that means, but it's pretty big. It's widening. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go therefore. Then he says five words. I am with you always. To the end of the age, whenever that is. So he's with us. So anybody can understand that. I am with you always. And I am the God of heaven and earth. And I change your Midianites. I change your life because I walk with you. Funny, we've got a sort of choice, haven't we? You can walk by sight, which we all do, and you've got to do that when you read the papers, you look at the news. There's this sight, but then there is this other dimension. Then this is the God of transformation who can walk with you, with your Midianites, and say, go in the strength I give you. I am with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. Go in the strength I give you. And do you know, it changed Gideon's identity from I'm no one in particular, I'm the least of the whole lot, to mighty man of valor. And in the end, that's what he became. Who are we? We've done this before. Who am I? No one in particular. And yet, if I look at these specs, we're all loved children of God. That's who we really are. Lord, I've got Midianites. We all have. And yet, you know what St. Paul says? He says that I believe that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor thing. That covers everything. Things present and things to come. Height, depth, anything else in all creation will separate you from the love of God. What about that? So Jesus says to his people, you know, go in peace. Really? How does that work? Well, it only works because he's greater than all that we face. So I'm going to pray for us and our Midianites. Is that all right? So, Lord, we come to you, the God of heaven and earth, and yet the God who is with us in our most domestic of all things, and with our Midianites, which who are many or few. The things that make us afraid, Lord. And you are there. And you've said, I will be with you always. Lord, help us to walk by faith. Help us to believe you. I can't see you, but I know you're there, Lord. And I ask you that we may come back to you and back to you and back to you and our thinking and our lives and our being and our Midianites all be transformed by an encounter, a heavenly encounter with God, with you, each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to make our response to what we've heard, to what the Lord has spoken to our hearts, by singing In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found. Let's stand. Please be seated. Time of prayer together, and June's going to lead us.
We're going to begin our time of prayer today by saying the Lord's Prayer together. It's up on our screen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our responses to the prayers this morning is from the Lord's Prayer, is your will be done. So I'll say, your kingdom come, and you will reply, your will be done. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called us all to yourself, and that we have the privilege, the opportunity to walk with you. Take away the veil from our eyes so that we can see you more clearly and hear your words speaking to us, into our minds and our hearts. Lord, keep us walking on your path. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Father, we lift up before you the elderly people and the vulnerable in this time of such severe heat that we are undergoing right now. Lord, we pray that you will help those who are caring for them, to help keep them well and cool in this heat. We pray for the effect that the heat is having on produce for the future, for crops that are ripening too fast, too quickly, to be able to sustain us all in the future, year ahead. Father, we pray that you will give the skills to the farmers and scientists to help preserve and secure food for those in need, those who are vulnerable, and for those that are working, that you will help to sustain us in this coming year. Help us not to waste, not to be greedy, to think about what water we use. Help us to be mindful, for we are in the West and we are fairly rich and wealthy. But Lord, we've got to help us think about all those other countries, other places that suffer because of our greed, our selfishness. And Lord, with that, we are sorry for the things that we overuse, overly have. Help us to be mindful. Help us to walk your path. Unveil our eyes to what we are doing so that we can look up and look out and see the need around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we also pray for other countries too, which are also under threat of fire as we are. Lord, we pray again that we will be mindful across Europe, in how we treat our land. We pray also for the war in Ukraine continuing, Lord. We pray that your hand will be, your strong arm will be over the warring country. And Lord, that you'll hold back the violence, the killing, the distress that Ukraine is under. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And we just lift up before you, Lord, April, who's in hospital in Nottingham with her pregnancy. She's 24 weeks. And we just ask, Lord, that you will be there with her, protect her, as she's at risk of having a premature baby. And Lord, we pray that she can be more managed medically by the team there. We thank you, Lord, that she's happy to be there and that she's able to rest. And we thank you that things look as if they're improving a little bit. She had high blood pressure a little bit this morning, Lord, so we just pray that that goes down and that your arms are there holding her and the baby as she has to have total bed rest at this time. Lord, we pray too for Connor and Archer, as Archer's at home with his dad and his grandparents, Lord, and he's happy. We thank you, Lord, that he is just so happy at the moment and he's able to chat with his mum online and that they can see each other. But Lord, we just pray for those two guys that you would give them your peace, that Arch will be able to sleep and enjoy life as he usually does, but you'll be with Connor and he must be so worried. And Lord, we just pray that you'll rest aside his fears and his anxieties, Lord, and give him your peace. We pray for that little family, Lord. We pray that the baby can stay for as long as it can do in situ and that it will be born at your right time. You have the right time. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen.
We have just a few notices to give out before we sing our final hymn. And Diana is going to give us a notice, please.
We have a box at the back of church for any books anyone doesn't want, and these are sent to The Bridge, which is a Christian charity. People at St Andrews run it. It's for children who are excluded from school. Apparently they can sell any books that have two covers. So I'm going to put the box at the back for another 2 months, because at the minute nobody's bringing any. And if it doesn't work, then we'll take it away. And the other thing is, there is a little display of lights made by Josh Bruce, Dave's son, age 14, out of a 3D printer. Orders taken. So help yourself. Thank you.
And those are at the back of church on a table. Just to remind you, we have coffee after the service, so do stop and have some fellowship with us. But there is also the prayer corner over at the back there. And if you have any particular request, do go to the prayer corner, where there will be people who would listen to you and pray with you. Our closing hymn this morning is a reminder to us that the Lord has been walking with his people from the dawn of time and still with us. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. Let's stand to worship as we close our service. Please sit or kneel for our closing prayers. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light to our paths, and a strength to our lives. Take us and use us to love and serve in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Together we pray. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.